Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Well, the Bible is just overrunning with words of great men, and far greater than the men that this world would consider great, because they were men who were godly men, they were God-led men, they were God-like men. There were many of them, but there was one who spoke that was different from them all. He had a different sound in his words. There was a different ring to them that made him stand out above all the rest. Jesus spoke as never had anyone else spoken before him. In John the 7th chapter, we read of the occasion when the people were all divided concerning him. Some were saying one thing about him, some were saying something else. There were some who were suggesting that he might indeed be the prophet that had been prophesied, that he might indeed be the Christ. And when the Pharisees heard the people speaking in this fashion, they sent officers to take Jesus, to seize Jesus, to put him in hold, to where he would have to stop his speech. But the officers went out to seize Jesus, and after a while they returned, but they were without Jesus. And when they were asked, "Why had ye not brought him?" they said in verse 46 of John 7, "Never man spake like this man." Isn't it obvious, dear listener, that these men were overwhelmed by Jesus Christ, not only by what he said, but also the way that he said it? It was quite obvious to them, as it ought be to us, that the sayings of Jesus made him different from all the rest. He was most outstanding. And why was Christ outstanding? Christ wasn't outstanding among the people because of his fashionable clothing. All he ever had was a seamless garment. He wasn't outstanding because of his physical attractiveness. Isaiah says prophetically of him, "He hath no form nor comeliness that we shall see him. There is no beauty that we would desire him." Christ's outstanding quality was not in his formal academic learning. In fact, it is said of him, "How knoweth this man letters, seeing he hath never learned?" That doesn't mean that Christ was suggested to be ignorant, but he had not undergone all of the formal education and reaching the high academic standards that were considered somewhat then and even considered somewhat now. It's not suggested that Christ and his speech was outstanding because of any oratorical ability that he had, nor was he outstanding because he was a great warrior or a great statesman, or that he was a great entertainer or an actor or any such things as that. He never pretended those sort of things. Christ was outstanding because he had something to say, and he said it, and he said it in a way and a manner that was different and superior to all of those that came before him, and indeed all of those that have come after him. Friend, no man ever spake as Jesus spake with such divine authority. Before Christ, there had been many people who had spoken for God. God had led them, God had taught them, God had guided them. They were inspired in the things that they had to say, and they spoke for God. But never before had one walked among men that had spoken as God. In fact, none other could have done so. And we see this throughout the teaching of Jesus. For instance, when he was teaching that which we call the Sermon on the Mount, repeatedly he would say, "It hath been said thus and so," and he would quote certain things of the old law, and he would quote certain things from the traditions of men that some were trying to bind, and then he would say, "But I say unto you." In contrast to God's authority in the past, in contrast to the human authorities that were being imposed upon the Jews, he spoke authoritatively himself, "I say unto you." When he finished that great Sermon on the Mount, the people went away and they said that he spoke as one having authority. I think it's quite interesting when Christ was at the well of Jacob with a Samaritan woman, and they were discussing a number of matters, and the woman said, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." And then Jesus remarked, "I that speak unto thee am he." Now that was a very authoritative statement. That was a statement where he assumed unto himself divine authority. showed His divine authority. In John 8 and verse 12, He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again He said, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And before Christ ascended into heaven, He promised His apostles that the Father would send in His name the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would guide them in the things that they would preach and teach and bring to their remembrance the things that He had taught. And there cannot be any question whatsoever that when the apostles went out to preach, they could speak with authority. But their authority actually resided in someone else. They were but ambassadors for Christ. And the authority behind the words of the apostles was the authority of Christ. No man ever spake as Jesus spake in terms of authority because, as Paul said in Colossians 2 and verse 9, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But again, never man spake like Christ spoke because of the divine results of His words. Our Lord could be out in the midst with His disciples on the storms of the sea, and there was such power in His words that He could speak the elements to be calm, and they would obey. I think we need to realize the power of the Word of God, because the gospel, that is the Word of God, is the power of God unto salvation. The power of the Word of Christ when He spoke was such that the blind could see, and the lame could walk, and the deaf could hear, and those that were possessed by demons were freed and delivered from them. Never man spake like Jesus spoke. And as powerful as His words were, people, His words were words of tenderness and love and compassion, because He not only spoke sympathetically, He spoke encouraging words, but our Lord had such power of word, being who He was, of course, that He could speak men's sins forgiven. Now that's only a quality and a characteristic and an ability that belongs to deity. That does not reside in humanity. Never before did one speak that would produce such results as the speech of Jesus Christ. And yet, seeing that He spoke as God with authority, and seeing that He spoke words of such power, it is most noteworthy that He spoke with such simplicity. In our day, it seems like sometimes there must be some that feel that to be impressive, you have to be complicated. Our Lord wasn't of that disposition. In Mark 12 and verse 37, we read that the common people heard Him gladly. When Christ was pointing out the characteristics that showed that He was the Messiah, He said to John the Baptist, and He said, the poor have the gospel preached unto thee. You see, when Christ had people before Him, whether it was a small group, whether it was one individual, whether it be His disciples, whether it be multitudes, Christ did not speak in order to display His own learning. He spoke with simplicity in order to achieve learning within His hearers. And I think we can see what a tremendous difference it is in those two ways of approaching. He spoke in such fashion and with such simplicity, presenting heavenly thoughts in such fashion that the prophet had said of His words, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. People can understand Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing about how he spoke, he did not use excellency of speech. He didn't try to impress his hearers with his oratory. He didn't use the wisdom of men. He just simply preached Christ and Him crucified. Never man spake like this man, not only because of authority and power and simplicity, but Christ spoke with a vibrance and a life to His words that were equally firm, precise, direct, exact, right to the point, sometimes rightly characterized as even being stern. It's pathetic that sometimes people feel that you can't be firm and also be kind. It's wrong for people to think that sternness dismisses compassion. I would rather persuade you that as we look at Jesus Christ, that His sternness in His speech Sometimes his fierceness of speech was a demonstration of compassion rather than a lack of compassion. As the Bible student knows, our Lord often encountered those who chose to be his enemies. But Christ encountered them with words that would rebuff their false ways, designed to correct the ways that would lead to their destruction and the destruction of those that might be influenced by them. One time he said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Now that's mighty direct. That's mighty precise. That's very much to the point. That's a very stern comment. And as you read particularly in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, listen to how the characteristics that Christ used, the words that Christ used, as he spoke to his hearers, he called them hypocrites. He called them children of hell. He said, "Ye fools and blind." He said they were guilty. He called them blind guides. Hypocrites that were full of extortion and excess, whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness, full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He said they were serpents, and he called them a generation of vipers. Now that's the words that came from the mouth of our Master. Never man spake in such firm, almost harsh, certainly fierce way in which our Lord did. Surely those that would violate and contradict and run against and rebel against the way of God, when they heard Jesus speak, they could walk away and say, "Never man spake like this man." But now shifting our thought just a little bit, for we've been dwelling upon the manner of the speech of Christ, the way that he went about saying what he said. Never man spake like Jesus Christ, not only because of his manner, but because of the subject which he spoke. For instance, nobody ever spoke of God the way that our Lord spoke of God. Of course, he claimed God as his Father. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "Those that had seen me have seen the Father." That's because of the unity of them. He claimed that God was the one that had sent him. He claimed that he was God's Christ. And he taught people of God. And to know God, one must know Christ. He taught people about the love of God, the holiness and the perfectness of God. He taught people about God being the giver of good gifts, his providential care, his concern for mankind. And he taught concerning the nature of God, that God was a God of love, but also a God of wrath, that God was a God of mercy, but God is also a God of justice. No man was ever able to speak of God in such fashion. God was to be reverenced as the Almighty, but at the same time he was presented to us as a loving Father. No man ever spake like Jesus spoke concerning God, and no man ever spake of man, even those of us, the way Jesus spoke. You see, Jesus placed the reason that the human being is to be considered of more value than all this world. Any one of us here, according to the teaching of Jesus, is worth more than this entire world can afford. He said, "What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Jesus gave the reason for what we today talk about human rights, human dignity. The reason we're different from all of the living creatures that inhabit the earth that God has created. And when he talked about man, mankind I'm speaking of, he told us the proper relationships among people. Oh, if we today in our world would only listen to this man who no one else ever spoke like him, the relationships among people would be so different. For he spoke concerning the relationship of husband and wife, and of parent and child, and of attitude toward neighbors, and toward brethren, and even toward enemies, such we have. Christ spoke concerning man and his responsibility, accountability, and eventual answerability unto God. And the Lord, knowing that man faces so many different problems and threats in life, Jesus spoke to the solution of these things, sometimes specifically, sometimes in principle. He came to show man the right way to live. No man ever spake like this man. Dear friend, today it is not a question whether or not the way of Christ will work in the world, or whether it will work in my life or yours. It works. It always works to the benefit of man and glory of God. The way of Christ, unfortunately, is unknown. And it's unpracticed. It's unbelieved. It's not because it's irrelevant. It's because it's cast aside. No man ever spake like this man. And the most glorious message that our Lord gave to us was the message of salvation from sin, which will not only destroy our lives in the here and now, but throughout all eternity. He told us of the cost of forgiveness. He said that the Son of Man must be lifted up. Speaking there, being lifted up on the cross. And Paul echoed that sentiment when he spoke to the elders at Ephesus, how that Christ purchased the church with His own blood. I don't know how much the church is worth to you, but I know how much it's worth to God, and I determine that by the price that was paid for it, just like you determine the worth of goods that you buy, by the price you pay for it. I know what the church means to Christ, because He shed His blood on the cross to purchase it, to make it a reality, to bring it into existence. And Christ taught the way of salvation, and He taught that the motivating power behind salvation is, first of all, God and God's love for us in spite of our transgressions. His grace toward us, His mercy extended toward us. And how He has provided for the forgiveness, the propitiation, the atonement of our sins in His Son. And Christ taught how that all, and especially through His apostles, He taught that all are in need of that which He offers. And He taught us how to lay hold on what He offers, and that is by hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before He ascended into heaven, He spoke specifically to the apostles and through them to all of us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. No man ever spake like this man. For you see, Christ brought hope to a sin-cursed humanity. Christ brought the message of the preservation of life, the preservation of the soul, the spirit of man. And He provided for the way of that preservation by forgiveness, by our sins being blotted out. And He cited Himself as that way. How could anybody else ever speak as He did? Never man spake like this man. And in providing for man hope, showing man the way to live, our Lord spoke two other things that I call to your attention, and then the lesson is yours. Never man spake about the life beyond the grave as did Jesus Christ. Oh, men down through the ages have probed into the vast unknown that lies beyond physical death. Job raised the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Our Lord Jesus spoke in such a way that He provides for us the answer. And He said of Himself, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall not hunger. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man shall eat this bread, he shall live forever. He said, I live because of the Father, and so he that eateth me, he shall live because of me. When Christ was speaking to Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus was in the tomb, having been buried, being there now 4 days, He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Jesus Christ spoke concerning the things that lie before us, not only of death, but of the resurrection. And these things are inescapable. And He spoke of the judgment which none of us shall avoid. And He told us about eternity, which all of us shall experience, either in eternal joy or eternal torment. No man ever spake like this man, telling man the things that he must know, needs to know, can know, and should follow in life. And the last point that we would make today is Christ spoke so directly concerning our responsibility to what He said. Indeed, never man spake like this man, but he spoke to our duty to what he said. In John 12, verse 48, that familiar verse, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Never man spake like that before. No one ever could speak like this man before. The fact that Jesus Christ took on the form of human flesh, lived here as a human being, and spoke His will is God's way of demonstrating the great truth of His love for us, His desire that none be lost. Jesus used words to build faith in the hearts of people. a faith that would lead them to do His will, and by doing His will, resting on the promises of God, enjoying the blessings and the offerings that God extends. Who else could offer you that? Could Muhammad? Could the Pope? Could any of us? Could any great figure of history, of the human and secular realm? Never man spake like this man. And when we think of this thought, it is our effort to exalt Jesus Christ. And even at this hour, through His Word, Jesus is softly and tenderly calling thee home. It was this Lord that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No man ever spake like this man. Dear friend, it seems almost unimaginable that people could turn away from such a one as this. It just seemed beyond all reason and revelation that we could just ignore what He had to say. Give heed to His words. Remember, Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. You keep in mind, Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. But you also keep in mind that Jesus said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven." Luke 12:8-9. But as we have noted, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And He also taught, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Be thou faithful unto death, thou shalt receive the crown of life." Revelation 2:10, the words of Christ. Would you please, for just a moment, think most seriously of the thought of what He said, how He said it, and know, never man spake like this man.